to the Lord today?
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. If you would, go ahead and turn to the book of Revelation, starting in chapter 13. Going to pray and then we will break open the Word of Life this morning. Amen.
Amen.
Join me in prayer. Father, we come and we approach Your Word with trembling and with great joy. Trembling because of the seriousness of the times in which we find ourselves and the seriousness of Your Word. Joy that You are sovereign and that You're God and that You see us through and that You win this war. We come this morning, Lord God, asking for understanding. And I come thanking You for Your anointing. Thanking You, Lord, that You can speak what You desire to speak through human vessels as flawed and tainted as we are. I thank You that I'm able to come with clean hands and a pure heart because of Your precious blood which washes away all of my sins. And I ask this morning that You would help me, Lord God, that I would bring nothing to strike fear into the hearts of Your people, but that in the context of the entire message and what we find in the Word, we would see these as very exciting times in which to live because You're telling us to lift up our heads because our redemption draws near. And we thank You, Lord God. But I ask that You would help me as the shepherd of this flock to inform and to prepare and to help, Lord God, to make ready the way for the coming of the Lord, that Your people would have understanding, would have open eyes, and would not be deceived by the spirit of this age, but would have discernment and wisdom. Lord, unfold Your Word to us today. More than anything else, even though I have many facts to bring today, which I normally do not do, I ask, Lord, that in all of it, You would help me to keep pointing this congregation back to You, that Jesus, You would be lifted up, that You would be glorified. You are the reason that we gather here. We are grateful to You for Your love for us and for Your sacrifice. And we thank You, Lord, that You have Your hand upon our lives. And I desire, Lord, that in this place today, You would have full sway. This is Your service. Be honored and be glorified here. And Lord, when all is said and done, let us leave this place knowing that we have heard Your Word, that we have been in the presence of the King, and that You're doing a work in our lives. And we thank You this day. Be lifted up and glorified in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, we pray. Amen. Now, if you're visiting today, about once every month or two, sometimes less, sometimes more, the Lord calls me to bring a word that's sort of a state of the world or state of the nation address. Most Sundays here at Faith Harvest, every other Sunday I would say, including these messages, my desire and my goal is to do nothing more than to bring a revelation of Christ, to lift up Jesus, that He would be glorified, to stay away from fads and to stay away from trends in the church and simply present the pure Word of God that does not change, that does not have to be made relevant with each new generation because it's already relevant, to preach the gospel without compromise, and that's what we will continue to do. Today is one of those days that I want to bring you up to date on some things. I want to share some facts with you. It's kind of like in the days of the Puritan churches in New England states before radio and television. They would spend the entire day at church and the pastor would preach for hours. And in the afternoon, a large part of his message would be bringing current events to the congregation and to the people of the town as they came into the church because they did not know what was going on around the world. And so the word would be brought to the pastor and he would give the news, but he would, guess what, he would give it in light of the gospel of Jesus Christ and what the Word of God has to say rather than presenting it like Fox or NBC or ABC. So this morning that's what I'm going to do. We're going to talk a little bit about this world that we're living in and our nation. When I speak of our president, I'm giving you some disclaimers ahead of time. When I speak of our president, I am not bashing the office or the man. We are called to pray for our president, and I urge you to do that. We are also told in the Word of God to be able to recognize a spirit of Antichrist that has been with us throughout the ages since Jesus came. that we are to see that, we are to understand that, and we are to speak, and we are to make others aware of that. So we have this dual thing of speaking forth with integrity and praying for those in authority, but at the same time speaking prophetically. Jesus said that we are foolish if we cannot discern the signs of the times. And I want my congregation, my flock, as an under-shepherd of Jesus Christ, I want you to have the tools with which to do that. We are given three key things that are elements of the end times in the Word of God that you have heard plenty of times, but I want you to hear the Scripture today that mentions these things as a springboard for what we're going to be looking at today. We are told that there will be in the end times a one world government, that there will be one world finance, and that there will be one world religion. When I was growing up, I would hear these things. People in the world would scoff because Christians taught that there would ever be such a thing. I remember even as a teenager when popular books came out like Late Great Planet Earth, that some of these things were again being spoken of and foretold, and there was much ridicule even within the church, people saying these things will never be. And so I want to show you first of all in the Word of God. Now we stand amazed as we see the dominoes falling and we see the very things that we talked about for years happening so rapidly. In Revelation 13 verses 1 through 9, "Then I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns. And on his horns were 10 crowns, and on his heads a blasphemous name. Now the beast which I saw was like a leopard, his feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. The dragon gave him his authority, his throne and great authority," the dragon being Satan. And I'm not going to go into all of the symbolism. We covered that when I taught on Revelation, and we'll do that again at another time. "And I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world marveled and followed the beast. So they worshiped the dragon who gave authority to the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, 'Who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him?' And he was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and he was given authority to continue for 42 months. Then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. And all who dwelt on the earth will worship him whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If anyone has an ear, let him hear." This passage speaks of two things. It speaks of one world government. It speaks of the rise of one who will be the leader of that one world government that we have called the beast and the Antichrist according to the Word of God. In Revelation chapter 13, verses 11 through 13, "Then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth." This is the false prophet. This is spoken of in another place in Revelation. "And he had 2 horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon. And he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. He performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads. And that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. His number is 666. The number of a man, signifying that this is man exalting himself as God and being worshipped. In this we see one world finance come under the control of the Antichrist through this mark, whatever it may be, this sign, this thing that is implanted, whatever it may be in the hand or in the forehead, which speaks of our works and our thoughts. But it will be something which will allow control of all of the people of the world who are not born again, those who cave into the pressure of the Antichrist, who follow after his goals and his plans. And through this, he will control the finance, the economy of the world as one world government comes into being, and the currency of the world is changed to one world currency. In Revelation 17, verses 1 through 6, we see one world religion. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and talked with me, saying to me, "Come, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot or prostitute who sits on many waters, with whom the kings of the earth committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication." I'm not going to teach or try to prove this today. If you study all the way back in the Old Testament, as we did when we studied these passages in times past, the harlot image has to do with false religion. And it has to do with false religion seducing the people of God and the people of the world into worship of that which is an abomination to God. In this passage that we're about to finish reading, she is closely riding on the back of the beast, the world system. That one world government and that one world currency recognizes her false religion, and the people of the world are led astray by this abomination. "With whom the kings of the earth committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, which was full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet, and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, having in her hand a golden cup full of abominations and the filthiness of her fornication. And on her forehead a name was written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth. I saw the woman, drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I marveled with great amazement." I am amazed, as we watched last Sunday night, the various video clips and the things that are taking place, the foolishness that's in the church today. We didn't even look into many of the false teachings and the false practices that are taking place. And how light and how frivolous everything is today in the church world when we consider where we are. When we consider the serious nature of where we find ourselves at this point in time. Yes, this is a sobering message. And I'm going to stick as closely to my notes as I can. Not like a lot of times on Sunday morning, or we'll never get through and you won't get home to your lunch. So bear with me. So in the way of intro, I just want to make a few points. Daniel spoke of certain prophecies that would be sealed until the time of the end. If you remember in that passage, he said that knowledge would increase and people would run to and fro. It's such an adequate description of the time in which we live. There's always been teaching on the return of Christ, but many things in the book of Revelation could not be understood until the 20th and 21st centuries. And I'm just going to mention a few of those to you. It's not, you know, I hear people say, well, they've always taught that Jesus was about to come and these end time scenarios. No, they've always taught the return of Jesus Christ. And they've always taught in their limited understanding and our limited understanding what the Bible says concerning the events surrounding that time. But it has not always been taught as it is taught today. Every generation brings a new unfolding because it could not be understood until modern times because of developments in modern times that allow for prophecies in the Word of God to be fulfilled, which couldn't have been fulfilled without modern technology. One is the incredible catastrophes in the description of the tribulation. Now, I'm not going to prove or cannot prove that they involve the use of nuclear weapons, but it very likely is the use of nuclear weapons. When you read of the Great Tribulation in the book of Revelation, the horrors that are described, it is most likely describing something like the use of nuclear weapons. And that could not be understood until 1952. It could have not have been taught, and it would not be understood. And when people read about it in those times, they could not fathom such suffering and such sorrow as what the Word of God speaks of. Even Jesus' words are directed at this in Luke 21. Don't turn there, but He says that men will be fainting from fear and the expectation of the things which are coming upon the world. In other words, they're going to have knowledge of things that are coming. They have a fear of something. It's not just talking about the Christian. They have fear of things that are coming because they know what can happen. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And so there is a fear that comes upon man because we know that man even has the power for the powers of the elements of the heavens to be shaken through nuclear warfare. The second thing is an army of 200 million from the east. At the time that John wrote the book of Revelation, there were only 200 million in the entire world. Certainly not enough to field an army of 20 million. Not until the 20th century could we begin to see the growth, the exponential growth, that would allow the amassing of an army that large. And so even now today, there is only one country east of Israel, as the Bible describes it, which is able to amass an army of 200 million, and that is China. Until the 20th century, we could not have even understood such an army being amassed, according to the Word of God. The two witnesses that are spoken of in the book of Revelation that will prophesy and then will be killed by the Antichrist and will lay dead in the streets of Jerusalem for 3 days. The Word says that all the world will see them and will marvel. How until the 20th century could all of the world have seen anything in one point on planet Earth? How will the world be able to look upon these events and see it all over the world? How will the world be able to worship the beast, no matter where he is, from all over the world? Because now we have the advent of television and satellite and mass communication so that one thing can be beamed to a satellite and the entire world can now see it before their eyes. Fourth is the nation of Israel. For almost 2,000 years, people laughed at scholars who said that Israel would be reborn as the Word of God prophesied. But there was no laughing after May 14, 1948. There was only amazement as Israel returned and became a nation again and was recognized by the United Nations as a nation. Now the prophecies that surrounded that event could begin to be fulfilled. Another is the image of the beast, which we read that the prophet, his right-hand man, the false prophet, will be able to cause this image of the beast to live and to speak, and the nations will be amazed and they will worship the beast. How can this happen up until the 20th century without the advent of television and satellite and all these things? And even now added to that, if you remember, six or eight months ago or a year ago, I told you about Prince Charles as he delivered an address at Abu Dhabi in the Middle East, as he addressed a nation, a gathering of leaders from around the world having to do with the future energy of the world. He was not present. He was in the United States making his speech, but he was appearing before the crowd as a three-dimensional hologram like you would see on Star Wars, and he was present. With the technology that we have today, the image of the beast could be present in every place in the world, visible as a three-dimensional image which people can listen to and worship. The mark of the beast. The Antichrist will cause all to have this identification. Whether it's a microchip or whatever it may be, now we have the technology for this to take place where it was not possible until the 20th and 21st centuries. Again, God told Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge will increase. Peter spoke of perilous times which would come. And now in these last days, God is showing us over the last decades, we're seeing more and more happen in the world, and more we're seeing how it can happen, that which is prophesied, which we did not understand before. In order for all of these things to take place, and for all of these things to come to pass, there will be a great shaking, the Bible says, of all things on the earth. A great upheaval in the areas that we have just outlined. Government, finance, and religion. And we see this happening before our very eyes in all three of these areas. It's hard to believe. It's beyond my comprehension. This is not the country that I was born into. This is not the country into which I was born almost 52 years ago. This next week will be 50. I'll be playing with a full deck then. Up until now, they said, well, I don't know if he's playing with a full deck. At 52, I'll be playing with a full deck, okay? So, 52 years ago, when I was born, this nation was nothing like it is today. And in my life, my short lifetime, I have seen such amazing changes that I cannot believe that I'm standing within the confines of the country called America, that something could change so drastically. I want to review some of the things this morning that have happened and are happening, because one of the reasons that I bring these things, just as the video last Sunday night, which some people say, well, you're just being gratuitous. And I say, no, I am being a good shepherd to feed my flock and to let you know of the things that you won't hear on the news. I have the time to research and to find some of these things and I want to share them with you. Some of the things you know, I hear you talking about it as I pass. Some of the things perhaps you have not heard of. We are on the brink of cataclysmic changes that are just happening right and left even now, and you're going to see it. I'm going to mention a little while, you've heard me talk about acceleration before. We're going to go beyond acceleration. With the election of our current president, we've entered a period of transition into that which we have so bitterly opposed all of the years that we have been as a nation. We are sliding into socialism, and we are on the brink of full-scale socialism. Now, so I'm not going to teach as to everything about this today. I don't understand everything about it, but I know that socialism is the transition period that a country goes through on the way to communism. Now, every country that is socialist does not necessarily become communistic, but it's close. But every country that is communist first went through the period called socialism. So it is designed, its goal is to move a country towards communism. One mark of, let me back up just a minute. Some countries remain socialist, as I said. So you may say, why are you going to speak so much today on politics? I only speak of politics as the Word of God speaks of politics, okay? And so we look to what the Word of God says. But you must understand that many of our brothers and sisters, multitudes of our brothers and sisters in Christ, have suffered for Christ under socialist and communist regimes, and many continue to suffer under them today. So I would think it's very pertinent that we understand what we are in for. Amen? One mark of socialism and communism is a culture of surveillance. And this is just increasing exponentially in our world today. I didn't get the figures on this. I've read them before, but you'd be astounded if you read the statistics on surveillance in England. London, England, every citizen is watched by a number of cameras every day. There are thousands of surveillance cameras watching the people of the society in London in order to keep track of every person. And that is heading our way. On April 15, 2009, our U.S. Department of Homeland Security issued a warning that they are watching large numbers of right-wing... These are political words, but you fall into it. Large numbers of right-wing protesters, including those who oppose abortion, who oppose Obama's financial policies, and numerous other issues. A special mention was made of anti-abortion groups as right-wing radicals. The American Homeland Security wants all of these Americans to know that they are suspect and being watched closely. America has taken a great leap recently in this area of surveillance. Another thing that they have done is that our current presidents, under the guise of copyright breach issues, is seeking the power to control the internet. And that power will include the ability during what he deems a national emergency to cut off the internet from the entire world. It is called the Cybersecurity Act. It's a socialist police state mentality which cuts at the freedoms that Americans have claimed for two centuries. Internet, as bad as it can be, is a tool that can be used for good or for evil. And it is one of the last places where freedom of speech still reigns. We're losing it rapidly in our nation, and with control over the internet, there will be a surveillance of everything that is, every email that is sent, everything that is said and done, and the ability to cut it off at any time. If nothing changes, you are about to witness the remaking of human society in the free world, rapidly and drastically. In January 2007, those of you who were here, the Lord gave me a word. Holy Spirit spoke the word acceleration, and many of you have reminded me of that as you've seen that things that weren't once were kind of falling into place slowly, suddenly they started accelerating and accelerating. A few years ago, the Lord added to that word exponential. That's like when something is rolling down a hill and it doesn't just keep rolling at the same speed, it picks up speed exponentially. It gets faster and faster and faster per second. Today, the image is this. We're not just rolling down the hill. We have now accelerated and rolled down the hill, and now we're flying off the cliff. Can you imagine what our acceleration will now be? We are at the brink and going over as these three things are rapidly emerging. One world global government, which will eventually be under the Antichrist. One world economy. It has happened, especially in our current crisis. It is rising as a beast itself, as I'll speak of again in a moment. All that remains is one world currency, and that will be coming soon. Russia and China have both called for the elimination of the dollar as the standard and for a new one world currency to be used throughout the world. And this is a hot topic that is being considered right now. One world religion. Multiple things on many fronts are happening to merge. Representatives of all religions that have forsaken Christ, even in Christianity, to merge together in a new age, one world gobbledygook of religion that will be accepted because it has no absolutes. It has no absolutes. All roads lead to God. We, as the true followers of Jesus Christ, are being further marginalized. That means pushed to the edges of society. We are labeled as hate mongers and intolerant, and soon there will be outright criminalization and persecution. For years I've preached that the church in America will undergo persecution. At times I've wondered how would I have the gall to preach such a thing, except that I believe the Word of God says it and that the trends in America are showing this. And now I am certain this thing's not turning back. We're now, once you become a global society and the Word of God shows us what the global society will be, then one large nation that has become now a part of that global society will not turn it around according to the Word of God. Church, there is no going back to 1950s in America. I wish that we could, but there's no turning it back to the days of Mayberry RFD. It's gone. Because of all these things that you hear, all these people that you hear crying for peace and tolerance, they're only speaking of peace and tolerance for those who will accept this new world order. But if you hold to your archaic Christian beliefs that there's one way to the Father through Jesus Christ, His Son, you're an obstacle and you must be eliminated in time. We are now looking for the end result. I mean, in these weeks right now, we're looking at the news for the end result of the hate crimes legislation, which has been introduced in various forms over and over, but now is back, is being applauded by a Democratic legislature. It has passed the House and is in the Senate now. This, if it passes, if this hate, it is passing under the guise of tolerance for all people, but if this passes, it will be used, you mark my words, it will be used to silence Christians in every area of life. If you speak anything, you don't have to speak with hate. You know that as a believer. You may be speaking in love. But if you hold an opinion about homosexuality that's a biblical opinion, or if you hold an opinion about the government that's a biblical opinion, you hold an opinion about something that is contrary to the way society is going towards any certain group of people. If you have an opinion saying that your faith is truth and that Buddhism is not true, you no longer have the free speech to say that because you may offend someone. That is hate speech, and you will be the object of conviction. This is going to be used to silence Christians. In addition, how many of you have heard of the Fairness Doctrine? If the Fairness Doctrine is reinstated in government as it is being pushed through right now and attempted to be reinstated, and it will be reinstated, I feel sure, it will be used to basically shut down Christian and conservative radio and TV broadcasting because it will require equal time for opposing views. So imagine a Christian broadcasting network is preaching about Jesus being the way to heaven, that people might hear the gospel and be saved, and the government says, well, if you're going to preach that message, you've got to give equal time to Islam, equal time to Buddhism, equal time to Hinduism. What Christian station, what Christian broadcasting center will do that? That is an ultimate compromise that some will, because they're merging into that one world religion. But those who are true Christians will not bow to that, and so effectively, genuine true Christian broadcasting will be shut down in America and around the world. Most of you, for me, with James Dobson and focus on the family, I'm not going to say that I have agreed with every statement and everything done by James Dobson over the years, but this man has given his life to see biblical standards upheld, to see traditional values kept in America, to fight against the destruction of the family unit, and to uphold Christian values. He has had great influence politically over the years, raising awareness over issues and influencing lawmakers and legislation in favor of traditional values. He spoke recently concerning the battles. He said, In the 80s, we were victorious in many battles. We fought all those battles, and really, it was a holding action. In other words, we were just basically keeping from losing ground. He says, and now we are absolutely awash in evil, and the battle is still to be waged. And we are right now in the most discouraging period of that long conflict. Humanly speaking, I couldn't believe James Dobson said this, but he's true. It's just that it's the sad statement of a Christian leader who is being realistic. Now, there's the end of the story we know, so just hold on. Humanly speaking, he said, we can say that we have lost all of those battles. James Dobson says that we have lost the battle to uphold traditional values in America and biblical values. He said, but God is in control and we're not going to give up the fight, right? Amen. Church, we have lost many battles, but the war has not been lost. I fear that it is lost for the soul of America, but it's not lost for the Church of Jesus Christ. You know, I want you to understand, we have been patriotic as Christians. Most of you would agree with that. There comes a time when you have to choose God. You obey your government unless it crosses God's law. But now you have to understand that you are of another kingdom. You know, the movement is now in the world and in the church is that, oh, we're no longer American citizens. We're now a global village. We're now a global economy, a global world. So we're global citizens. And in effect, that's true. I mean, we're losing our sovereignty as a nation, and we're merging into a one world government, and there will be no sovereignty anymore of America as a nation. It will all be subjugated to international regulations and laws. And so we will say we're global citizens, but I pray that you will say, I'm not a citizen of this world. I'm a citizen of another kingdom. And my kingdom is not of this world, even as our Master taught us. The parallels with Germany's seduction under Hitler are too numerous to mention. And they're pretty amazing. Just like Germany under Hitler's rise to power, these things that I'm going to say were all true of Germany, and they're true of America. But where they were true in relation of Hitler to Germany, now they're true of our leadership to the entire world, not just to one nation. The economy is in crisis. The economy was in crisis in Germany when Hitler came to power. We have a leader who is renowned as a charismatic speaker around the world. Hitler was not renowned as a charismatic speaker in Germany and his part of the world. Ours is now worldwide. Like Hitler, ours surrounds himself with people of questionable morals, character, and racism. Many he surrounds himself with have blamed the Jews for all of the problems of mankind. He has put into place those who are tax cheaters and those who have been on the fringes considering their radical views for years and years in this country. Both in Germany and in our country, there was constant public speech about change. Under Hitler, people got swept up and overwhelmed in a euphoria about change and about new things coming. And the same has happened in the world today. Hitler burned records to hide what he wanted hidden. If you try to get records concerning our president's past, here's what you will find. Occidental College records, not released. Columbia University records, not released. Harvard University records, not released. Columbia University thesis paper, not available. Selective service registration, not available. Law practice client list, not released. Certified copy of original birth certificate, not released. Signed paper certification of live birth, not released. Record of baptism, which is a legal document, not available. You'll find nothing. You'll find that the Nazis in Germany bullied Jews and other segments of society. And you'll find that right now, that when bloggers on the internet speak out against current policy changes and what's happening, the followers, the campaign leaders of the Democratic Party, and now the supporters of our president, they bully these bloggers and try to strike fear in them to get their free speech stopped on the internet. Hitler incorporated a civilian task force of youth and adults, and he indoctrinated them with his policies and with his beliefs. The youth brigade was called the Brown Shirts. Our president has signed into law his plans for a comprehensive national service corporation that has never, ever been acceptable in America in over 200 years of our existence. With 8 million volunteers, originally on his website, it was declared that it would be mandatory service for young people and college-age students in return for education. When the people screamed and hollered about that, it was removed from his website, and now it's volunteer. But volunteer is the first step towards mandatory, and I want you to understand that. This national youth brigade that is being proposed will have no room for God. It is a civilian task force, and if your youth serve in this youth brigade, which basically entails doing community service in order to help society, it sounds like a wonderful thing, but they will be indoctrinated in boot camp. They will be taught what this government wants them to understand about society. And they will not be allowed, already written in the policy, during the time they are serving, they will not be allowed to attend any kind of religious instruction, any kind of church services, to be taught the Word of God, to participate in any type of Christian or otherwise religious activity. Meanwhile, they're being indoctrinated in that which the government will be indoctrinating. We are moving at stunning breakneck speed over this cliff. Our president has claimed to be a Christian but laughs about the world calling him a Messiah. What Christian would laugh when the world calls you a Messiah? You'd be on your face weeping and issuing press releases saying, "Do not call me a Messiah. There is only one." Instead, he laughs and says, "I wasn't born in a manger. I was born on Krypton. And I was sent here to save this planet." In his first 100 days in office, he has done more to further Islam and suppress Christianity than you can imagine. His first telephone call to any head of state as president was to, Mahmoud Abbas, leader of the Fatah party in the Palestinian territory. He has funded over $20 million in taxpayer dollars to immigrate. You don't know about this. You didn't hear it on the news. To immigrate Hamas refugees from Gaza, what he calls conflict victims, to the United States. This includes a free ticket, housing, and food allowances to individuals who have displayed their overwhelming support to the Islamic resistance movement, which is Hamas. His first one-on-one television interview with any news organization was with Al Arabiya Television. He ordered Guantanamo Bay closed and all military trials of detainees halted. He has ordered overseas CIA interrogation centers closed. He withdrew all charges against the masterminds behind the USS Cole and the terror attacks of September 11th. On his first day, he included non-believers in his list of faiths during the inauguration. On the 38th day of his rule, I don't know if you know, he calls it rule. No president has ever been a ruler in America. They are a servant of the people. We don't use the word rule. We don't have a king. We have an elected official. But Obama's campaign headquarters issued a statement before the inauguration that he was ready, he was prepared, and would be ready to take up rule on the first day of his presidency. And he has shown that to be true. On the 38th day of his rule, he proposed new limits on tax-deductible contributions to charity. On February 27th, he announced his plan to overturn health care conscience provisions, which means that he is intending for doctors not to be able to opt out of doing abortions because of their conscience. They will be forced to do abortions or lose their license. On March 19th, he extended the olive branch to Iran, a nation which is strongly anti-Israel. On April 6th, he announced in Turkey that the United States is no longer a Christian nation. On April 14th, before his speech at the historic Georgetown University, a university with Christian roots, his staff required the removal of religious symbols in the platform behind the president, specifically the plaque that bears the name of Christ and the cross above it, so that it would not be visible when the camera zoomed in on the president for his speech. We have historically stood with Israel concerning, according to God's Word, and God has blessed us as a nation. But we are now turning, and we are headed for a train wreck over the issue of Iran. As we try to appease this state, which has stated its desire to wipe Israel completely off the map. I've not even begun to list all of the pro-abortion moves made by our president in his first 100 days. And other orders which have taken away individual rights or will in the time to come if they are passed. The recent G20 conference in England was truly the codifying of our new world order and the beginning of our global economic system. And I'm going to read a quote here because I wouldn't get this right otherwise. This man who is proclaiming that he will fix the economy of the United States was quite extravagant regarding his trip. He arrived at the summit in England with a staff of 500, his own limousine flown in from Washington, D.C., and a fleet of decoy helicopters. His entourage included a number of armor-plated limousines, including his reinforced steel, his personal limousine, which is named the Beast. The Beast car is a $300,000 vehicle equipped with night vision camera, reinforced steel plating, a tear gas cannon, and oxygen tanks. In addition to the numerous helicopters were 200 Secret Service staff and six doctor medical team. He also brought White House kitchen staff to prepare his food. Before Obama arrived, every place he was to go was tested for electronic bugs and the air was tested for bacteria. A military officer also traveled with him and carried a briefcase with all of America's nuclear missile launch codes. That's standard protocol. A surgical team also traveled with him, bringing along with them a supply of type AB blood for the president. One thing that should be noted about this trip is that President Obama did not bow to the Queen of England, but he did instinctively bow to the King of Saudi Arabia. Soon we will have one world currency, and America will no longer be the center of finance and prosperity, the beacon of prosperity that it has been for 200 years. You may be thinking, well, one man can only do so much. He doesn't have complete control. I am not a fearmonger, but I'm telling you, you need to wake up and you need to read the Word of God. You need to understand. I'm not saying that you're to go out and sell your stuff and live in a cave and hide. I'm saying that you better get on your knees and be right with God Almighty, that you better know Jesus Christ and be able to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit to get your own directions in the days to come. Our recent economic disaster, like many disasters in history, was seized upon as an opportunity for government control. Our president personally fired the chief executive of General Motors and got away with it. That is illegal in America. It has been reported that the nation, it has been reported in the nation's major newspapers that our president wants to control the banks, and he is getting what he wants in that area also. Some banks have realized that the stimulation package is Marxist socialism and have tried to back out, but he won't let them back out and they cannot give the money back because the government would lose control. You may not be aware that there is already a legal plan instituted under Kennedy. It has never been repealed and it has never expired, which will allow the government total control if they deem something, whatever they deem. There are no guidelines for this deeming. if they deem something to be a national emergency, such as a major war, economic crisis, or a deep depression. Listen to what this entails. It allows the government to take over all communications media, including television, radio, and newspapers, to control all means of production, to appropriate all land and property determined necessary for the welfare of the country, and to control all methods of transportation, including highways, railroads, airports, seaports, and inland waterways. It allows the President to issue an order for the Postmaster General to conduct a nationwide registration of all persons in the country, to order the mobilization of citizens, of civilians, into workforces under governmental supervision, and to regulate and control all wages, prices, and transactions. These things can be done through the use of executive orders issued by the President. There are many executive orders, each with their own number, but the ones that contain these provisions are numbers 10,995, through 11,051. They were formulated as a reaction to the Cuban crisis of 1961 and were signed on February 16th and 27th, 1962 by President Kennedy, which made them available for his use or the use of any succeeding president. When put into effect, they set up a virtual dictatorship in the name of expedience and safety, but at the expense of freedom of many kinds: religious, personal, intellectual, commercial, and political. God is still speaking for those who have ears to hear. God is still speaking in the events that happen in our nation. A few years ago, I reported on the piece of granite or marble that fell from the front of the Supreme Court building and the things involving that, and how prophetically, what a message it was for God and what it said. I'm not going to repeat that today. But on March 23rd, 2009, Almighty God made a direct statement against abortion, which was nothing short of a miracle. On that day, an airplane crashed into a cemetery near Butte, Montana. On board the chartered plane were the family and friends of Dr. Irving Feldkamp. And there were no survivors. Dr. Feldkamp of Northern California was waiting at the entrance of an ultra-exclusive ski resort for everyone on the plane to arrive so they could join him there. Dr. Feldkamp and his family were heavily involved in the abortion industry. Feldkamp is the owner of the largest chain of abortion clinics in America, and his clinics all perform late-term abortions. He became filthy rich and a multimillionaire from blood money, from the slaughtering of babies. The truly amazing part of this is that the cemetery where the plane crashed was unique in one special respect. This cemetery contained a special monument that was set up by pro-life and anti-abortion groups, and the monument carried the inscription, "The Tomb of the Unborn." It is there that the plane crashed and all 14 people on board perished. Not exactly a coincidence, I would say. Revelation chapter 18, verses 1 through 5. All of these things together, before we read, form what is called the Babylon system. Beginning in the Tower of Babel, it's reared its ugly head against God all throughout history. And it will control the world under one world government, one world religion, and one world finance. But it's not forever. In another place, the Word of God says, "Hide yourself, as it were, for a little while, till these calamities pass by." I love that. That's a word for you. Hide yourself, as it were, for a little while, until these calamities have passed over. We have the example of the children of Israel in Goshen in Egypt. When all of the plagues fell upon Egypt, those in Goshen were protected by the hand of God. They had light when everything else was in darkness. And as this world sinks into darkness for its final curtain call, we have the light of Jesus Christ, and we will not be caught unaware. We will know the mark. We will know all of these things if we stay close to Christ. We ask for discernment and we look to Him. And these things will fall, and we will see them fall as Jesus is victorious over all things. "After these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his glory. And he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, 'Babylon the Great is fallen, and has become a dwelling place of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hated bird. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury.' And I heard another voice from heaven saying, and He says this to you today, come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins and lest you receive of her plagues. This tells me something. It tells me that we are to separate ourselves from the ungodly things in this world and not to be seduced by philosophies and ideas and government things that sound wonderful to the masses of people because they don't know the Word of God and they don't know what's behind it. You will be regarded as a fanatic and as a fear-mongerer and as one who is mentally unstable if you stand close to Jesus Christ while all of the world follows what looks like a good thing for the peace of the whole world. But God says, come out of her. Come out of this false system. Have nothing to do with it. And it also says, come out lest you share in her sins and lest you receive of her plagues. There are plagues that are going to increase on the earth as part of judgment against this world system. But it tells me that if I come out of her and I don't partake in her and I stay close to Jesus Christ, I will not participate in the plagues that come upon this world. Amen?
Amen.
Chapter 19, verses 11 through 13. Now I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself, because no mortal man could fully know the name of God and all that it entails. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And we worship him today. Chapter 20, verse 11 through 13. Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. But how many of you know that we won't be judged according to our works by the things written in those books? We'll be judged by the other book that it speaks of, the book of life. If our name is written in the Lamb's book of life, we won't be judged according to our lostness, according to those things found in the other books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Oh, beloved, make certain your salvation today. Be certain that you know the Lord, because I've been so careful through the years. I'm not making predictions that aren't based upon the Word of God. I'm not standing here and saying Jesus is coming today or next month. I'm telling you that rapidly, and with more rapidity each day, these things are now falling into place. The time cannot be long. It cannot be far away. Chapter 22, verses 20 through 21. Our glorious hope. He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming quickly. That means speedily. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you all. Amen. That's the final words of all of this canon of Scripture. May the grace of our Lord be upon you all. May you have the grace today to let the Lord examine your heart. It's a gift from Him. May you have the grace today to fall in repentance before the Lord if there are issues between you and God. May you have the grace today to have your eyes open, to see with eyes of faith and to see with the Spirit and the Word of God the things that are taking place all around us. I'm amazed that I could stand in a crowd of 10 people and one person would know exactly what I'm saying, and I could even go through every one of these things and it would be so clear and more. And nine others would be standing there and their eyes are darkened by Satan because they love this world. And they cannot understand the things of God. They cannot see the things of the Spirit. And they would laugh and mock and say, "How can you even say such a thing? Things are just like they've always been." And Jesus said, "Narrow is the way, and few are they who find it." He did not promise this great revival that's going to sweep the nations into the kingdom of God in the end time. He promised that there would be a falling away, and that there would be great apostasy, and there would be a narrow road, and few would be they who find it. I do believe there's an end time revival within the church, but compared to those who are going down the road to hell, it's small. In the church, it is a purifying, it is a fire, and it is a raising up of those who will be able to stand in the midst of all that we're about to go through. Do I stand here with confidence in myself, saying, "Oh yeah, bring it on, because this is going to be an exciting time"? No, I fall on my knees before God and I say, "Have mercy. I do not know my own weakness and my own strength, and in myself dwells no good thing, your word says. But I ask for grace to stand, and I ask for power from the Holy Spirit to stand, and I ask that you would change me as these times come upon us, that I would let all earthly loves, all earthly charms, everything that draws my heart, that it would fall away, and that I would only have love for Jesus Christ, and it would overcome my love for any other thing, and that I would be able to stand as a testimony and a beacon for Him." I don't know what's ahead other than what I've shared with you in the Word of God. I don't know how soon or to what extent. I don't know what we will be forced to endure. I know that God has miraculously, financially kept us in this place month after month after month, that we might be a testimony in downtown Mesa, and He has done it by His hand because we were never able to afford it or to do it. And He will keep us here until He says, "You don't have the freedom to anymore, because your nation has taken away that freedom." And then we will follow Him as a congregation that meets wherever we can meet. And we will not, I pray for all of us, we will not bow to the image like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We'll say, "No, we'll not bow, we'll not bend, and God willing, we won't burn in the tribulation suffering." Let's stand. Tom, do you have something you're going to play for the closing song? There's only one altar call today. That is, are you right with God? Church, that's all that matters. Are you right with God? If you're not right with God, I invite you to come. Go to the altar. You can go alone, do business with God, kneel where you are. If you need prayer, come. Let someone pray with you. If you don't know Jesus, come and receive Him as Savior. It's the only way to escape the things that are coming upon this earth and to be saved for all of eternity. Old-fashioned message, an old book. But it doesn't know time, it knows eternity. And it's just as real and just as true today as it was when it began being penned some 5,000 years ago. We're not going to sing a closing hymn today. We're just going to take a moment. Let God do business. Father, I pray for parents. My heart especially goes out to the parents in this church. Parents of lost ones, Lord, we ask in faith for you to bring them in, because the time is short. Parents of young children, who I understand are hoping that I'm wrong about these things coming quickly. Grant them grace to teach the children the things of God. And that no matter what happens, they would not deny Him. They would not deny the Lord Jesus Christ. God, reveal to our minds the foolish things around us that hold no eternal value. God, if we're not in love with You, if we don't have that first love, we won't be able to find our way through this. Because it's not by knowledge, even the knowledge in the message today, it's not by these things, it's by being in tune with Your Spirit, having access to Your throne that we are kept. Keep us, Lord God. Keep us, Lord God. God, I didn't have time to preach today about the great joy that we have and how we're able to overcome and all of those wonderful things that are in Your Word, and that's still true. And I believe we're to prepare for our future. That we're to work to win people in this world to You as though we do have tomorrow. But help us be prepared if it's this afternoon that You return. Give us wisdom. God, I pray for our president. My mind is reeling from the things that I'm seeing, Lord. I cannot even believe that it's America. I pray, Lord God, that You would... Your Word says that You turn the heart of kings. Perhaps we could have a reprieve for a season. Lord, let not this man prepare the way for Antichrist. We pray that You would change his heart, Lord God. And that he who claims to be a Christian would bow the knee to Jesus Christ. God, even in these times there are pockets of hope. I thank You for the Dominican Republic, Lord, that as a nation recently outlawed abortion forever of all kinds. Oh God, that we would quit leading the way in evil and that we would follow someone who's doing something right. Have mercy on us, Lord, as a nation. Have mercy on Your church. Prepare Your bride that we might be without spot, wrinkle, or blemish, awaiting Your soon return. Let us live and die to serve You with all of our hearts. We have eternity to rest. Eternity to enjoy real life. Eternity to experience the fullness of all that You have for us. God, let us not trade it away like Esau for a little bit of porridge here on this earth. But let us keep our birthright. We thank You. Keep Your people here today close to You, Lord God. Give them great hope, great faith, great confidence in You. Take away all fear. We might know that we are kept by Your strong hand. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.